cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to Leadership Transformation Platform, transforming towards an empowered society. I'm Adrian Groenewald, with me Louis Groenewald as always. Hi Louis.
Very good to be with Herman.
Yeah, we're sitting in the, I don't know if you call this the executive mayor boardroom, right next to his office, and we're doing a conversation with him on leadership. Also with me, and we'll welcome him in a moment, we have two executives from Sibanye. Hartley Dikgale, Executive Vice President, Corporate Affairs, and John Wallington, Executive Vice President, Coal and Energy. So they'll join us, and they'll pop in some questions as well as we go along. Herman Mashaba, welcome.
Thank you very much, Andres. Lovely talking to you today as the new executive mayor of this huge city of us called Johannesburg.
I see it as the New York of South Africa, isn't it?
Yeah, one can look at it from that perspective, but you look at Johannesburg the last 130 years. We are now celebrating 130 years of the development of Johannesburg. And Johannesburg, over the last 130 years, has been responsible for driving the economy, not just of Johannesburg, of South Africa, and ultimately the African continent. But the last few years, Johannesburg has been failing on that responsibility. So we have a huge task ahead of us to ensure that we can get Johannesburg to be that economic engine again.
I'm excited to talk to you about that a little bit more. But how different, I've known you for years now as a businessman. Maybe just tell us just in a relaxed manner what it's like being a mayor versus running big businesses and being an investor in big businesses. It must be quite different in many respects.
Totally different, Adrian. I truly believe that I look at my 35, 36 years of business career, and I thought I used to work hard, doing plus minus 10,000 kilometers a month over 15 years, working hard as a youth. And I thought I was working hard. And I've been in this job now just over 60 days. In fact, starting from beginning of the year with the campaigning, I can assure you my business career was on holiday. And you can imagine at the age of 57, instead of taking retirement, I've taken one of the most difficult jobs on earth, particularly turning around the economy of South Africa. Because without Johannesburg working, you don't stand a chance of turning around the economy of South Africa. So I have a huge responsibility.
So it's a bit of a barometer almost of the economy, the border.
Absolutely. Unemployment, very high economic stagnation, deep-rooted level of corruption, the public service, they did not realize that they're in public services, they were under impression, they were working for a political party instead of working for civil society and working for the public. So, you know, to change this mindset, the city of Johannesburg today, we employ 33,000 people. And how do I change this culture for them to understand that we are public servants? Because I joined this work, this responsibility to be a public servant. And how do I then make sure that everyone around the city, the 33,000 people, are also public servants?
That's huge, eh?
The domination of the Tripartite Alliance by the unions and the so-called South African Communist Party. You know, so unfortunately, I've inherited a very difficult situation. But we're doing our best. That's the reason why second week of my taking over the office, took the city manager and 120 of senior executives in government on a four-day start session, where after the 4 days, we developed what today in this country is known as the 10-point plan for the city of Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. And in that 10-point plan, the number one item, it's around us embracing the results of the 3rd of August elections, because that's what the voters have voted for the next 5 years. That's a mandate that the voters have given. They're not, the voters of Johannesburg said, we're not prepared to give ultimate power to one political party. And now you can imagine, with us as the Democratic Alliance, with 38%, ending up to be the government.
Big job.
And with ANC with 44%, but being an opposition. So you can imagine. So I'm obviously sitting today here as the mayor of Johannesburg with 38% of my own party. But fortunate enough, what is important is what council ultimately wanted. I carry 52% of council mandate. And coming from this mandate, coming from other smaller parties with the EFF support. So that's what I've got to run this government for the next 5 years.
Yeah, and that's something I want to explore with you just now, is what it's like running a business where so many people staunchly follow another party. But before we get there, you were fairly well known in South Africa as a leader, as a business leader. But if you said something, all media didn't necessarily quote you. Now you open your mouth and you can be publicized wherever you want and however you want. That's the power of this title called Mayor of Johannesburg. That must be something to adapt to.
Well,
you now quote it in whatever you say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Every time I open my mouth or I sneeze, and more especially being the mayor of such an important municipality, of such an important city. So, in fact, it's interesting, Adrian. Yesterday, I had a friend of mine who now lives in Australia, came home, wanted to see me. It's in the country for a few days, and I had a drink with him. I said, look, you know what? The days when I can drink and get drunk are over for the next 5 years. Because I'm literally 24 hours on call and on standby. So, yes, can have a drink or so, but I must at all the time make sure that I have a functional mind.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's why, you know, as a businessman, we can have huge debate, have conferences, have workshops. Then from there, then we can go and have a drink with mates and life moves on, not with the type of job and responsibility that, I'm carrying at the moment.
The challenge is leaders are often judged by how they act and behave outside of working hours, and you don't have such a thing now. Louis, doesn't he just look like a mayor already? I mean, he's just got the... You can see the mantle has dropped, and it's a same, but a little bit different Herman Mashaba sitting here.
May, we've dealt with many leaders over the years, and when you walked in here, I saw a mayor. Now it's good to see that. Mm. There's the shine in the eye. You know, you guys, fellow guests, just a few months back, we had a session with him, and he was saying positively, I'm going to be the mayor of Johannesburg. Now, we supported your positivity, but we didn't know if you could do it. And so, for hardest fit, he went ahead and did it. Appreciate it. Can I just ask you that three-day session you had?
Four days.
How did it go?
Well, I think it went exceptionally well, considering that I was taking an administration, as I said, was dominated by political consideration. Management of the city, some of them are still under impression that they were working for a political party, not working for government. So the culture, the value system that I'm bringing to them is that they're not working for the Democratic Alliance or political party. You're a professional public service. That's what... That's the kind of culture that I'm teaching and imparting. And I think whoever's going to take after me will be so fortunate that he does not have to take over an administration or a municipality dominated by politics, because my role right now is the fact that people working for the city, that's 33,000, are not employed by a political party, are employed by government. Their responsibility is to execute the mandate or a manifesto of any political party legitimately voted into power for that period, whether it's 5 years or 10 years. So they must not get themselves involved in political consideration. You wait for the voters to determine who the government of the day should be, wait for that manifesto, implement that manifesto to the best of their ability, then wait for the next political determination. So you're not employed by political parties. And I think, yeah, it went very well because it was not an easy exercise. I mean, another interesting aspect of what I shared with them, we were looking at the budget and looking at the economy. Discovered in the process that management and the previous administration had accepted a budget over the next 5 years to deliver under 2.5% economic growth. Then I said, guys, this is very dangerous. Are you aware that if we accept and adopt this this budget, you know the implications to poor South Africans, unemployed, 800,000 of our people, one in three? Because, I don't know, I said, are you aware that for as long as the economy of this country or this Johannesburg does not grow over 5% minimum, that means unemployment is going to get worse. Because that's a fact of life. If the economy of South Africa or Johannesburg performs under 5%, the unemployment numbers are going to go worse. So the only way that us as South Africans can reverse the spiral of unemployment, we need an economic performance minimum of 5%. So therefore, people voted for change. When it cannot be business as usual. And looking at South Africa's performance, underperformance, 40% of the issues of this country are self-inflicted. We're scoring our own goals. We can complain about global issues, but ultimately, 40% of the issues of this country are self-inflicted. So therefore, our people out there, the unemployed South Africans, 800,000 in the city of Johannesburg, just over 9 million all over the country, they're looking at political leadership to create an environment where we can reverse unemployment. Mm. So therefore, one of the points of the 10-point plan is to then say, no, I'm not accepting this budget going forward. Let us come out with plans that can drive Johannesburg to enjoy a minimum of 5% growth.
I would have loved.
Very important.
Would have loved to be there over those 4 days.
In the beginning, everybody rejected. They said, no, why 5%? It's not possible. We went through this project and this budget. But then when I brought this reality to them of the implications, because I said, okay, if you want me to accept those 2.5% economic growth, then you must allow me. When I leave here, I'm going to prepare a press statement to let unemployed people, let people of Johannesburg know that unemployment under our new government, it's going to get worse. So are you guys prepared to let me to embark on that? He says, no. But I said, but no, do you expect me to lie? I said, I cannot. I'm not the one to spin. So because any economic performance under 5%, therefore, it's a fact of life that unemployment is going to go worse. So when they realize this reality, that's when they says no. Then let us think
find
out of
way.
The box. Let's find a way that we have to do everything possible to ensure that the economy grows.
Excellent.
Gordon, just one point. We mustn't understress it. It's changed our vision from being political party followers to public servants. We must understand the importance of that from a leadership point of view. I love that because suddenly it gives everybody insight. This is what I really am. I'm not a follower of a specific political party, really. I'm a public servant. Mm. And I love that. From a leadership point of view, that's great. That's great. I like that.
But that is an interesting view. But in a country where it used to be 70%+ support for the ANC, you would find that 70%+ of your public servants are staunch ANC people. So it's a big challenge that you're taking on here. Herman, what are you seeing on the inside now that you didn't see on the outside even when you were campaigning? Now you're on the inside, leading on the field. Any interesting things you're seeing as a leader?
Well, I think for me what's really worrying, and I think these are the issues I raised during the election campaign, it's this patronage system. Of the previous government, quite a worrying factor that one has to destroy, and you can't destroy it overnight. But what's more even worrying is the deep level of blatant corruption that happens in the system. Because of the patronage, therefore people thought they had a blank check to literally loot the state. That for me, it's a worrying factor that
the two are connected.
I really wonder whether the previous administration had conscience to realize the impact of this patronage and the looting, what it does to poor members of the community. Because for me, taking myself as a businessman over the last many years, I take myself to be one of the big taxpayers in this country. So when people steal public monies, they don't steal from me. I've paid my taxes. Government can't tax me more than what they've already taxed me. What corruption does is steals from the poor. I look at people of Alexander or Sunspray or Carsons or Orange Farm with no opportunities, with no facilities. People living in the city of Johannesburg that the old administration called the world-class African city. When people, big number of people in this community, in this city, don't have toilets, they don't have water, they don't have electricity. They don't have identity, because when you live in a settlement, informal settlement with no streets, with no identity, when you ask someone in Carsons to give you the address, it doesn't have an address because this government failed to implement the bylaws. People do as they please. Go here in the city center of Johannesburg, hijacked buildings many years that the government have let this great city of ours collapse in this fashion. But now you look at the living conditions of poor people. So corruption for me, it's such an immoral, evil system, because actually you steal from the poor. And this administration had no feeling whatsoever.
And I know that's probably one of your 10 points, eh? Curbing corruption.
Declaring corruption public enemy number one. And you will see the next few weeks things that are coming out, hair-raising. But why the administration let things like this continue? It's beyond imagination. I never thought that a human being can reach that level of consciousness. Especially people who have been known over the years to be fighting for the liberation, particularly of poor people, when they have the South African Communist Party as their partner, when you have a labor union like COSATU as a partner, because these two organizations, on paper, they're the ones supposed to fight for poor people. But
so the next few weeks will be revealing.
In real life, that's not the case.
May you say there's a direct connection between patronage and corruption? How come?
Yeah, because once you start implementing or run a patronage system, the patronage revolves around corruption. The two are linked. You can't separate one from the other. So because if you want to run a professional, responsive government, automatically you'll ensure that you get the right people with the right values. But once you start bringing patronage into the system, basically what you are saying is that you're going to cover and protect one another from that point of view. And that's what has really happened over the last few years. But fortunate enough, Jesus decided to come unannounced, and that fortunately helped the situation. If we did not get Jesus arriving on the 3rd of August, our country would be in trouble. So I'm so glad today that his arrival has brought in a new...
The change came earlier. They're going to wish they never said that, your opposition. I'm going to go a step back and say 33,000 people. If you look at Sibanye before the platinum deal, you probably were, I don't know, 40,000 people.
We had 44,000.
Still close to the mic?
We had 44,000 employees. And with the acquisition of Aquarius, that number shot to roughly about 50-odd. And with the announcement or the taking over tomorrow of the Anglo Platinum Assets, RPM, that's going to push us to 70,000 employees. And that means, in other words, outside government, Sibanye becomes the biggest employer.
Amazing. Now, you just take the Johannesburg city, 33,000 people. To change that culture, and we've had this conversation briefly before, it's going to be an audacious task because of that entrenched belief. Now, the security guard, when you walk in, is an ANC guy potentially, or the secretary you had, or the counselors, or all the admin staff. So what are some of the things you're trying to do to shift that mindset from I work for a party to I work for the people? I'm a public servant. I'm a professional person. Yes, my vote is mine, but I don't work for Herman Mashaba. I don't work for the DA. Mm-hmm. What are some of the practical things you're doing? It started with a strategy session, I understand. But from there?
From there, then, we embarked on what today we call a skills audit. We embarked on this 2 weeks ago, working with one of the big companies, starting with senior people, to making sure that we get fit for purpose. Staff members go through. Adrian, you're running this department. Let's look at your qualifications. Let's look at your profile. Let's look at your bio to ensure that you know what you're doing. You are not put there for the wrong reasons. So we started the skills audit. Very important. And a skills audit is not a system to patch. That's a system internationally practiced in any business. Every time you buy a business or invest in a business, you want to ensure that you have the right people running.
It's an objective process.
That's a very objective. And
how's that going?
As you've heard, I think so far so good. Still early days, only 2 weeks. So 33,000 employees. Going to take months, if not years. But we've embarked on this, and as you're aware, our competitors thought the system was too patch, and we made it very clear, abundantly clear, that this program is going to continue whether you like it or not, because it is important, it is essential for us to ensure that we run it. Yeah, so it's only been running now for 2 weeks, so still early days, but... This is what's going to really drive and ensure that we get the desired results.
Because what can be challenging, I guess, and hopefully you have people you trust around you all the way through this, there could be a lot of hijacking. There could be a lot of clandestine movement around. There's so many traps that a leader can step into. There's so many things that people can cause to go wrong to reflect on a mayor. I mean, there's a lot of luck involved here. I don't mean it in a bad way. You can lead very well, but there are a lot of landmines for you to get through in the next 5 years. And hopefully your authenticity and your genuineness and your honesty will steer its way through all of that. But how do you deal with that? You know, you've got to trust people. You've got to trust people.
Yeah, well, you've got to trust people, but you cannot be naive. That's very important, I think. Unfortunately enough, I was born not to really be a naive individual. I trust people, but at the same time, I have limits how far I trust people, because I think my nature is that I ultimately have to take personal responsibility for anything, whether good or bad. I take responsibility. Before I can blame the next person, I look at myself. Did I put in the right measures in place to ensure that I get the required results? If someone lets me down, I don't just rush to blaming that person. I look at myself and say, Herman, why didn't you actually put in measures upfront to ensure that something like this does not happen? And then what I do, then I take corrective measures. And fortunate enough, when you work with me over the years and over my life, and as I get older, this actually gets even much more strong in my belief in ensuring that I deal with people in total good faith. I will never come to you, mislead you of my intentions. You might not in the beginning like what I'm going to tell you, but I'd rather upfront make sure that you understand. Let me give you a practical example of the issue at hand as part of that 10-point plan. I've identified the city of the inner city of Johannesburg to be a golden opportunity. When we discovered gold in this country in 1886, the number of, the volume of gold in our city, it's almost depleted. But here's the second golden opportunity for the city of Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. You know, this city, you look at it from a global perspective. This is a new city. You look at the infrastructure in the city. The infrastructure in the city is new by world standard. Yeah. Then I look at the balance sheet of the city. In terms of capex, how much can I have to spend a year? Lucky if I can raise 10 billion rands. What can 10 billion rands do? Can't take you far to address all the faults or the mistakes that we've made the last 22 years in terms of high unemployment, massive housing backlog, particularly for poor members of our community, because people are today reliant on government, whereas we can get the economy to work again so that people can be able to do things on their own. This city of Johannesburg, with buildings, some of them belonging to the city, some of them belong to the province, some of them abandoned by the owners, hijacked by criminal elements in our city. People who are in our country illegally, We allow them to hijack our buildings, and we're not prepared to take tough decisions to take to get them out, so that we can get the private sector. Private sector that is today ready and willing tomorrow to go and turn Johannesburg's inner city into a construction site, build low-cost, affordable housing for our people. And now, the construction industry, if you turn Johannesburg into a construction site, you can imagine the economic impact immediately. For me as government, I don't have to put in my balance sheet. I don't have to put in the expertise. The only thing the private sector is asking me to do, to let them take advantage. I don't have to have capex because the infrastructure is already there. We can turn this into high-rise buildings, affordable, low-cost housing. Housing that our government over the last 20 years building what we call today RDP houses, the quality, I can assure you, 40-50% better than that. In terms of the cost, cheaper than what the government has produced. So we're sitting with this golden opportunity. But now I need civil society support to allow me to reclaim the city back from criminals, so that we can make this city a city that all of us can really be proud of, and have law and order, bringing back the enforcement of the bylaws, immediately create commercial spaces for small businessmen and women. Today, if you're a doctor or a lawyer, can you afford the rentals being charged in Sandton? Sandton actually, for me, has created this massive inequality that we are seeing in our country. Whereas we have a city that, you know what, if we can develop this within the next 3-4 years, small businessmen and women can come and live, work, and play in the city of Johannesburg. And for me, as a government, I don't have to put in big balance sheet behind, which I don't have, that I must go and develop new areas and go and develop capex. Capex is already there, put in the last 130 years. So the only thing, I must play a role as government, come out with tough decisions to go and get these criminals out of, clean it up.
So we can watch the inner city very carefully. Also being cleaned up somewhere, a couple of people asked questions that I kind of listed here. Are you going to clean up the inner city? That'll be part of the whole job.
Well, you're not going to invite private sector investment in a filthy city, in a city where the bylaws are not respected. Crime is the order of the day, because we're sitting with a city hijacked by criminal elements, using criminal money to get the best lawyers to defend them. So I'm engaging civil society. I'm engaging our judiciary, so that when cases like this go to court, that our legal profession can see that we should not allow our country to be hijacked by criminal elements. Because I'm saying to the judiciary, well and good, you can prevent us as government to provide the low-cost, affordable housing to our people. And because you're working the cases of people with their illegal money, getting our people to live in deplorable living conditions, where the human rights are violated. Students here in the city, 2 weeks ago, I took on a Friday night with JMPD, spent 4 hours going to as many buildings as possible. I look at our students living in the city, living next to hijacked buildings. Our students are being robbed, their computers, their books. They're being raped, because these criminals with a building next to a student accommodation, they get robbed and rush into these buildings and no one can get them. And I'm saying, we are going to allow something like this to happen in the city of Johannesburg? I'm saying it cannot be business as usual. It is for that reason I'm saying, please allow me. I'm not doing this exercise because I'm a heartless person. I'm doing this because I want to defend my country, so that the city of Johannesburg can be a city for ordinary men and women to come and live in.
See, you can't, whether you like the party or not, when a man stands up like this, gents, and with a genuine intention comes forward to lead and create change, you can't fight it, actually. No. You can resist it in different ways, but eventually the pure motive has to, I don't know, be victorious. Don't you think, Hartley?
I agree, Adrian. I agree. And I think it's still early in the days, as the mayor had indicated. But indeed, you know, before you perfect your future, you need to reflect to your past. And so that you can actually be able to pick up some of those weaknesses that were there in the system, begin to put measures that are intended to correct that, so that at least your vision become clearer as you move forward. Having said that, I would also like at this point in time to take this moment, Adrian, to obviously congratulate the mayor on his new role. And having again done that, the second part would obviously be a further question to him.
Go for it.
You know, I was listening to him talking about the origins of Johannesburg, which is a subject that is also very close to my heart, because today I'm an executive in a mining space. And I know for a fact that without gold in 1886, there wouldn't have been a Johannesburg today. But again, I don't want to sound like a prophet of doom by saying today, without mining, again, this Johannesburg might not be there in the near future. And having said, therefore, I want to just get a sense from the mayor as to what would be his plans moving forward in terms of ensuring. I know he spoke about the role that the private sector should play, but it's also important to understand the government agenda from local level of administration of government, so that at least one should understand that it's still part of the plan of government to be able to, you know, to engage with the mining houses, to be able to deal with the mining sector with a view of also strengthening this growth that we need. Because indeed, I agree, 2%, what difference will it make? Oh. But again, if we aspire for more than that, it means all of us, we have to club together, we have to collaborate, we have to cooperate, we have to have this partnership. So I want to know from the His Worship here, you know, that from his side and his leadership side, you know, what is their vision around, you know, the role that could be played by the by mining in general, not necessarily gold.
It's interesting, the, you know, this whole issue of mining that you are raising. In September, you remember here in the city of Johannesburg, we had illegal mining where some miners, a few miners died underground, and as a city, we had to put resources and capacity to go and help to rescue with the rescue mission. And I then made a statement a few days later when one of the family members of this mine blamed us and blaming South Africa not providing support. I took serious exception to this as South African, that we immediately, on being alerted on this, put in every measure to go and assist this illegal mining. But ultimately, I blame the national government for allowing illegal mining happening in our city and in our country, where the police are saying 70% of these illegal miners are illegal people in our country. So how do we then allow your country's economy to be hijacked by criminal syndicates openly? They mention a figure of 6 billion rands of this illegal industry. So you can imagine the impact of this, that how on earth any self-respecting national government will allow something like this to happen. Unfortunately, at this point in time, I'm at a local government level. Mining is not our core, is not our competency. But however, this illegal mining is happening in our city, and I find it unacceptable. And we call on national government to put measures in place, that if there's any opportunity for mining to still happen in the city of Johannesburg, please let's do it legally, so that as government we can collect taxes and really ensure that we provide services to our people. So without any doubt, mining in this country still got a lot of potential, you know, in terms of some of mining reserves, be it platinum, be it chrome. South Africa, we still have massive reserves. But these reserves can only be exploited when you have a functioning economy. It can only happen when you can attract foreign direct investments, because as a country, as South Africa, no country in the world can exploit mining opportunities without it attracting investments in your country. And that's something that this current government is failing to understand, that for us to be able to exploit these resources underground, We need to have confidence in our country. We need to have confidence in our economy. So wait, that's why I'm working hard for 2019, so that you can have a new government that actually realizes and recognizes the importance of the private sector and foreign direct investments in our economy. So 2019 is around the corner. All of us are working very hard to ensure that we can have a new government that's going to be responsive to these issues.
Mayor Herman Mashaba's voice there. Before I come back to the serious stuff, family support. How important is that at the moment? Because your family must see you very seldom. And how are they carrying this burden? The difference it must make to have a family who supports you versus a family who doesn't. How is that impacting your life?
It's interesting and very interesting. I think about 2 hours ago, no, less than 2 hours ago, sitting in my office and I phoned my wife over something. And then she phoned me back and says, you know, I forgot to tell you something last night. I said, what? I said, what? He says, you know, I'm so proud of you. I said, why are you proud of me? He says, you know, I remember when you to decided to take over this job. I was reluctant. I wanted you to carry on doing what you've been doing the last 35 years. But I know as a committed person and the impact that you're making, because on a daily basis, when you come home and I read about this and I interact with other people, I'm actually very proud to be your husband and to be assured that you have my 200% support. So I'm glad hearing this from her that I've got her support because of the impact that my job is having on society.
But that's nice because we assume that, don't we, sometimes, that my wife, my husband, my kids support me. But to actually go out of your way and say, listen, oh, by the way, and to call you back mm-hmm. and say, I just want you to know that I support you mm-hmm. and I'm proud of you. I mean, I think that's a wonderful story. Mm-hmm. Quickly, your feelings on the broader issues. I didn't know until I came here that the charges against Pravin Gordhan have been, do you know, they've been withdrawn apparently?
Well, I had
what do you think about these bigger issues currently plaguing our society?
Well, as I've indicated, that 40% of the issues of South Africa are self-inflicted, are self-ongoals. And this is one of those cases, because you can imagine the impact of people wanting to hijack our treasury and using state resources to do this. The Minister of Finance being charged because trumped up cases, charges so that we can hijack our treasury. You know, for me, unapologetically, I call on South Africans. If there's one man in this country that needs to see his day in court, it's President Jacob Zuma. I think the sooner we can have an opportunity for Mr. Jacob Zuma be given his day in court, because he's facing so many cases, serious cases. This is the man who's been violating our constitutional framework. For as long as we have Jacob Zuma as the president of this country, unfortunately, we've got to accept the consequences. And the consequences are that the economy is going to stagnate. Economy is stagnating. Unemployment is going to get worse. Unemployment getting worse, our communities are going to break up. Going to the poor communities in this country, you'll cry, because you look at how our families are breaking up. Because when families don't work, then the youth turn into drug and alcohol abuse, family disruptions. And this one man has to relocate that responsibility. For me, Jacob Zuma and the ANC have to shoulder this responsibility.
Because what we need is big thinking, like your four-day offsite, where your team then already accepted a standard of 2.5% growth. Mm-hmm. But you come in as a man who's done the impossible in business, who came from nothing to something and continued doing that, and saying, listen, my whole life I've been doing the impossible. We can take it to 5%, but we've got to start thinking outside the box and being very creative. We need that at the top. We need serious leadership, visionary leadership in today's global economy to buck the trend, don't we? Look, and right now we're stuck with all the political issues which are really detracting us from being innovative and making a difference.
Let me tell you to one revolutionary statement I've made, and it's not just really a statement, it's a commitment I'm making to you and everyone, that in the event by 2021 I fail to bring down unemployment to the current 31-32% to under 20%, I'm asking civil society not to vote me back into power. In fact, I'm saying to everyone, I'm not going to make myself available in 2021. I'll work with my party, the DA, to find someone much more revolutionary, someone more who can really bring in revolutionary policies. Because how can I ever accept that with unemployment being so high, then I must just be content with the status quo? I'm saying, in the event of unemployment still being over 20%, people, I don't deserve to be given a second chance. And the reason why I'm doing and saying so is because I want to be the first politician in this country where I want civil society to hold us accountable. Mm. I'm putting my career and future on the line. It's a big ask to bring down unemployment to the by 10% in 5 years. It's a big ask. But the thing is, we need some commitment. Because I believe it is possible, highly possible. And it will be possible if I'm prepared to ensure that it cannot be business as usual. We need bold decisions to ensure that we can drive the economic revival of our country.
And are you putting the same commitment on the table as far as economic growth is concerned? So you're saying bringing unemployment down to under 20%. How about 5% growth?
Well, the thing is,
that's what you'll need to do that.
Well, the five, because if the economy is not going to grow, I'm not going to be able to bring down unemployment.
So they're directly linked.
Totally, directly linked.
All right. Any questions here from the panel? John, you have a question for the mayor?
Well, firstly, I want to add to Hartley's congratulations, and I've just been in awe for the last 40 minutes listening to what you've been saying. I was first going to say, I think just changing it from a politician to a civil servant is going to immediately, particularly over the next 5 years, lead to a substantial increase in service delivery. But now I do want to ask you a question. How you set yourself a huge task saying you don't want to come back, but it may, as you said in the previous statement, if certain leaders don't leave, we can't get the national economy going. There's only so much you can do. If in a smaller geography in a country where if things aren't going right in the national from a national perspective,
I have no choice in ensuring that we drive, including national policies that are not my competency. 2019 is around the corner, and 2019 being around the corner, I have to use Johannesburg to be the vehicle that is going to drive the outcome of the 2019 elections. Because without me driving the outcome of the 2019 elections, Johannesburg is not going to work. So all this is interlinked. So you cannot just look at this matter from a small perspective. You have to look at it broadly. That is why I keep saying the outcome of the 2019 elections are so crucial to ensure that this country's economy can grow. So we need change of government in 2019. We don't have a choice.
But Mayor, you're also saying really that Joburg is a powerful economic entity in own right, and you can do much with Joburg. Don't always, blame government alone, that we can do a lot here. That's what you're saying as well, not so.
Absolutely. But we can only do that if we look at issues from a broader perspective, where things that I cannot control right now, let us use our democratic dispensation to ensure that we can effect change. And we need to bring change. We don't have a choice. But now we need to drive that through a democratic process. That is why, for me, change of government democratically in 2019, it's essential for this country's economy to be able to grow. Because ANC and Jacob Zuma can only destroy this country going forward.
Have your leadership skills, or are your leadership skills being tested in this job? On every level, from every angle, you have to reach deep.
Well, as I've said, I thought I worked hard over the last 35 years of my business career. This is a challenge. I work 24 hours, 7 days a week, with so many critical issues that, this job, you are forced to know everything. You know, tomorrow I'm going into my mayoral committee meeting. On Wednesday to Saturday, I'm going on a strat session with 120 or so people into what we call the mayoral lokhotla to start the budget process. And now you can imagine projects that we run. You know, your neighbor might be to have a power failure, and the guy next door have a water burst. I've got to know, so because when residents phone, they're not interested that, I don't know, particular Tom Street in Bryanston. No, people expect me, I must know. So this is it's an impossible job. But at the end of the day, you know what? The more I get sucked into it, the more I realize that privileged South Africans like myself need to participate in this democratic process and structures. Because if you don't do this, that's when now you get really criminals taking over, using democracy to hijack your country. Yeah. And one thing for sure, I'm calling on civil society, particularly privileged ones, please let us participate in this democratic dispensation that we created in 1994. Because if we don't, then criminals are going to take advantage and they will win election after election, eventually capturing your country and our economy. Fortunately enough, 3rd of August was a milestone, was a watershed, but we cannot afford to relax again. Let us take that to be an example, a lesson that we were lucky in 1994, we had Nelson Mandela. We're very lucky. Because I grew up in an environment where I never thought I'll ever see a democracy in my life. And Mandela brought in his magic, made it possible. But it becomes our responsibility to ensure that we are vigilant all the time.
Quick question. I remember having a chat with you about your visit in the middle of Africa. Was it DRC? Somewhere where it used
Rwanda.
To be Rwanda.
Rwanda.
It used to be an absolute mess. And when you visit it now, people are saying it's amazing. It's clean. It's wonderful. It's friendly. It's tourist friendly and even investment friendly in many ways. But one thing I remember is that president instituting a weekly hour cleanup,
monthly.
Now, is that something you can just do in Joburg to say, right, guys, it's now law on Friday afternoons, 3 o'clock, businesses, everyone in the city centre or in Joburg will clean up. Are you thinking about those kind of innovative ways? Because we all say when people said, I must ask you, when is the city cleanup starting? Well, flip it. Why don't we clean the city? But that sort of thing. Are you thinking about that? Because I remember it had a huge impact on you, that trip.
Yeah, without any doubt. I remember when I got back, one of the papers requested me to write an article on,
yes,
on
you wrote
my experience.
One.
And I wrote one. And today I take Kigali and Cape Town to be the two African cities that I'd like Johannesburg to compete with. Because without any doubt, Rwanda, it's going to become a Singapore of this continent if you don't watch it. Small country, massive potential, because they have the leadership that's there to drive that.
Do things like that here in Joburg?
I don't know if we can do it with our democratic structures in place. Look, we let aspire and find ways to encourage people to aspire to such principles. But our democratic dispensation would make it a bit more difficult. But I think with engagement, civil society over years, becoming aware of certain things, because democracy is not about absolute democracy. I mean, the other day, actually, on one of the radio stations, I was at home just after having a shower, was dressing up, and I listened to radio in the morning, and one caller, small business, phoned John Robbie complaining about the JMPD harassing them. And I immediately phoned John Robbie to say, John, I appreciate what the small business guy is complaining about. And fortunate enough, I'm one entrepreneur or businessman that is committed to business development, particularly small business. However, we cannot allow a situation where we We don't have bylaws that you think you have absolute power. You as a as an individual that you can just put your merchandise anywhere blocking our roads. I said, we cannot. That's why we will use JMPD to ensure that as much as you've got your rights, but if other people have got rights too. So these are some of the things that sometimes our people don't actually realize that democracy is not about absolute power. Democracy can only function where the rule of law also applies.
And that balance is not that easy, is it?
Yeah,
no. So if anyone else have an additional question, please, we've got 3-4 minutes. I have one question, and then I want you to give a final leadership message to leaders out there. Over and above other questions you guys might have, are you enjoying it? I get the feeling that you are, but I guess you can't always. I don't know if anyone who works 24/7 can just enjoy it. It's tough. Your system can only handle so much. You've got to stay fit and eat well and you know, be spiritually strong and whatever you need to do. But are you actually inherently enjoying this? It's early days, eh?
Well, yeah, I think it's early days, but let me tell you something deep down how I feel about this job. It's a tough job, without any doubt. But I think every night or every morning I wake up, I take myself to be such an exceptionally privileged human being. Exceptionally privileged. Because I'm doing the kind of work, probably that's the reason why my wife phoned me this afternoon. Because honestly and truly, I believe I'm so privileged that I can be put in such a position to influence so much that's happening in one's country. It's a kind of privilege that I never thought I would ever have one day. Because never, honestly, the last 30 odd years of my life, never thought I'd take a direct political role. And all of a sudden, political developments in this country push me into this job. And the more I get sucked into it, the more privileged I feel. And really, I think the old man upstairs is the one who deserted my path. Because even going into business, I can imagine, I started my business at the age of 22, 1980, when the National Party said to me I couldn't go into business. And I decided to defy them. And the business career gave me such a privilege. And now all of a sudden, at the age of 57, another privilege of my life. So, you know, I don't know how long I'm going to be saving this country, 5 years, 10 years, or what ANC would want to see my government collapsing any time. So that fate is not up to me to determine the final outcome. I will only do my best in ensuring that I serve my city, my country, and ultimately my continent, because I strongly believe the statement that I always make, that if Johannesburg works, South Africa works. And when South Africa works, Africa works. And when Africa works, the world will become a safer place. And I think for me, it is what drives me every morning to come to
big vision.
To what I'm doing.
Big vision. Louis, final comments, just a sort of wrap-up comments from what you take away?
Deep down, my old man's experience is that your basic inner drive is so important. I hope you make sure that you nourish that. Make sure your spiritual source, you feel good about it, because ultimately that'll take you through the difficult time. What a pleasure, though, to speak to this great leader that's prepared to tackle these things and make a difference. Thank you, Mayor. We appreciate being in your presence.
Heartily, John.
Well, from my side, Your Worship, I thank you for the brutal honesty in which you have actually dealt with the issues and in which you are planning also to confront whatever that might have been viewed as an obstacle in the past. And also the fact that you started the right way, you know, by actually doing what you did as an analysis of the situation and be able to identify specific areas, and you came with your 10-point. And now one can only give you support to say, you know, if you win on those 10 points, indeed, Johannesburg, South Africa, and the continent would be a different place to live in. Thank you.
John?
Well, I think just to reinforce what Hartley said, I've been overwhelmed with what I've heard today. I'm certainly one of your supporters, I can tell you.
Yeah, thank you.
Good luck.
Good luck. And your final message to leaders, a leadership message, anything on your mind?
I'm requesting particularly the business community to join us on this difficult journey. Fortunate enough, highly possible. We need private sector investment in our city. Have confidence back in our country. It's important. Let's do it for ourselves. Let's do it for our children. Let's do it for future generation.
Thank you, Mayor Herman Mashaba. We'll make that our Sibanye executive leadership thought. Thank you so much for allowing us to come into your boardroom here and getting a feel for you in your own environment. When you come to a studio, it's our environment. But here we come to yours, and I think that makes the leader comfortable as well. And good luck with your leadership journey. It doesn't matter whether you're EFF or COPE or ANC or DA, we need this kind of broader attitude of serving society, not necessarily party. So we wish you well in your huge, audacious task, and we'll stay abreast of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. CliffCentral.com.